Welcome to the Park Snacker Pod, your source for Disney Parks news. I am Matt, and with my co-host Katie. Katie, how's it going?
Hello, it's going great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain over here. Getting ready to go on, you know, start vacation next week. Yes. You know, we got Thanksgiving coming up. I already, you know, took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. So, you know, it'll be a nice, you know, a nice week off from work. So I'm excited about that.
Good for you. I'm taking half a day on Wednesday off.
Nice.
And even that seems like a lot. So
Yeah. No, it's I'm just ready to chill. You know, it's crazy to think, you know, today the when this comes out is November 17th, and it's mm-hmm. been 2 months since I left for Disney, which is crazy that it was like 2 months ago I was in Disney. It came to me today. I'm like, oh my goodness. What am I doing? Like, what have I done in those 2 months? So.
No, I hear you. I mean, even just like the fact that it's mid-November already is mind-blowing. Because like, what have I been doing for the past 2 weeks?
I know. I heard someone say there's only 7 weekends left in the year. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I started like planning some things out. It's like, okay, I need to do this, this, and this. So, yeah. But yeah, everything is good. I got a question for you though. Did you get to see the new Black Panther this past weekend?
No, we were bums this weekend. We've both been kind of running ragged busy lately. So we literally did absolutely nothing, but I'm assuming you saw it.
Yeah. I saw it. You know me, I got to see my Marvel films. Yeah. I love this one. I thought it was better than the first one. While, you know, I miss Chadwick Boseman, of course, who passed away last year. You know, his absence was, you know, felt in this, you know, but it was a really nice tribute to him. The cast, you know, really held their own without him in this. But I thought it was a way better movie than the first one, mostly because the villain was excellent. I shouldn't call him a villain. He's more of an antagonist, I should say. His name is Namor. He was one of the best, I would say top five antagonists that Marvel has had in any TV show or movie. But it was a little too long. It was almost like...
It's like 2.5 hours, isn't it?
It was more than that. It was like 2 hours, like 45, I think. It was a bit long, and they could have cut some out, but still very good. I enjoyed it, so. Okay. Yeah. If you're willing to go check it out, I would do it.
I'm not sure we're going to hit it in theaters. I know we should. I keep hearing that they paid really great respect to Chadwick, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to hit it in the theaters, but very excited to see it once it comes to Disney Plus, at least.
Heck yeah. Shouldn't be too far away, so.
No. I feel like they've been releasing movies really quickly to Disney Plus, too.
Yeah, that's with, like, all streaming services now. It's just like, okay, you know, like, for example, it's probably tonight or tomorrow I'm going to watch the new movie, that horror movie Smile. It was just in theaters, but it's on Paramount Plus now. I'm like, oh, yes, it's, you know, it's... So I'm excited to check that one out. Nice. But anyways, we're not here to talk about that.
Nope.
So yeah, let's get into some fun Disney stuff. But of course, before we do that, let's talk about Park Snacker. If you have not downloaded our app, Park Snacker, already, please do so. It is a free mobile app for all you Disney fans out there where you can rate, review, and discover over 70,000 menu items at Walt Disney World. You can connect with your friends, see what they're snacking on, browse menus, create custom lists, and so much more. So head over to parksnacker.com today to download the app available on iOS and Android. Again, head over to parksnacker.com today to rate and review what you eat and drink at Walt Disney World. All right, Katie, let's get into the fun Disney stuff. First, I have to ask, because I saw it was your 60-day mark for your trip. Any reservations made? Tell me any updates. Give me some updates for your trip in January.
First, I want to talk to you about a weird thing I'm noticing with my Disney experience.
Okay.
So we're not staying on property, but we do, like, but I, and I don't have my annual pass anymore, but I have a 3-day park pass, like my tickets and park pass reservations. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, as my understanding goes, as of day one of my trip, I should have been able to book for my full trip, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, can't. I have been getting 1 day at a time.
Really?
Yes. And I don't know if it's the app being glitchy and weird, if I've somehow done something wrong.
Did you try desktop?
I haven't tried desktop. Maybe I should. I'll try that here in a little bit.
You just said before this that you should be a tech person because you fixed your camera.
No, okay. I was being very sarcastic because I fixed it by unplugging it and plugging it back in. Please do not confuse our listeners.
Okay. No offense to all IT people out there, but that's a lot of what of IT is. Just turning things on and off, plugging things in and out. That's a lot of it.
Right. Hey, it worked.
No offense, IT people.
None at all. But yeah, so I've been super, super crazy busy with work and life and stuff. So yeah, I haven't really given it much time. And to be honest, we're not really trying for anything major. But it was just something that I've noticed, like as of my 60-day mark, I could only book our arrival day, which wasn't even a park day for us. So I don't know. It's being very weird, and I will try desktop here in a little bit and see what happens, but I don't know. It seems very odd that I can't book for the full trip, which is kind of irritating because now I'm checking every day for, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like that. I haven't seen anyone discussing it. Maybe it is a weird app thing. I mean, I know they just made a bunch of changes to dining and reservations, so maybe screwed up there. I'm not sure.
Probably.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about those changes, but I mean, did you get anything at least? Or
so I have booked multiple Steakhouse 71 reservations because we really want to do brunch and mimosas at Steakhouse 71. Mm-hmm. But my question that I'm kind of back and forth with, and Cassie can't figure out what is the best game plan. Do we go to Steakhouse 71 on our Magic Kingdom morning at Rope Drop Magic Kingdom, do a couple rides, head over to Steakhouse by 10:15, 10:30, and then go back to Magic Kingdom afterwards? Or we already have a rest day planned where we're planning on doing a monorail crawl / Disney Springs day.
Mm-hmm.
Do we do it that day? Because obviously it's on the monorail, would make the most logical sense to start the day with mimosas at Steakhouse 71.
Well, what do you plan on doing on your monorail crawl? Just checking out resorts and stuff? Okay. Because I guess if you're looking to do okay. Yeah, I don't know what time certain things open, lounges.
That's the thing. Yeah, Trader Sam's won't be open because that doesn't open until 3 or 4, right? So, yeah, I don't know. So that's kind of what we're tossing up because it makes sense to do it on the monorail crawl. But to your point, if nothing else is open, then what is? So I currently have a reservation booked for 10:30 on our Magic Kingdom day and for 10:30 on our rest day. And we'll just cancel whichever one that we decide.
For me, what I would do, since you guys have been to Magic Kingdom so many times, get there early for Rope Drop. Do a couple rides, walk out of the park by 10 o'clock, you might only have an hour in the park maybe, but you can do some damage, if you want to get some rides done. Cause I remember, being there, November, we got a lot done in an hour. So, especially if you do Genie Plus too. I mean, that could help, but
which I think if we do Genie Plus, it would only be the Magic Kingdom day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I would do. I would honestly just go to Magic Kingdom, have a rush in the morning, rush, go get breakfast, and then kind of mosey your way back to the Magic Kingdom with a bit of a buzz. And
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And then that way, your rest day, say you don't want to do a monorail crawl, you're not tied to it, at least you're already in the Magic Kingdom area.
That's true.
I don't know. For me, plans change all the time. So for that rest day, I feel like I would rather have a bit more
flexibility
and stuff. So yeah. I feel like a dining reservation makes more sense or I should say a dinner dining reservation on a rest day compared to breakfast maybe. I don't know. But
yeah, no, I feel that completely. And that's kind of where I'm torn, right? Because I think is where I'm leaning. But then part of me is okay, well, then what the heck are we doing a monorail crawl for if we're knocking out one of the three options ahead of time? But it'll also be our very first day. So I wouldn't be worried about, we'll be able to wake up super early and get to Magic Kingdom super early and, get our pictures on Main Street and then actually bust through a bunch of rides real quick before we head out. So I don't know. I think that's where I'm leaning, but we'll see. I currently have both of them just in case.
Well, you have some time to decide what you want to do, and you know, whatever you do is going to be the right choice. So don't worry about it.
Yep, for sure. I will say the one thing that, since I can only book one day at a time, tomorrow morning will be my 60-day mark from my our Hollywood Studios at night day. So hoping to snag a Fantasmic dining package for Mama Melrose is what we're going for. Nice. But even just looking at other dates that week, there is nothing available. So I have low hopes. Very low hopes. Which is fine. I'm okay with it.
I know. You could always check, you know, always just keep checking. You never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately with Fantasmic right now, it's only standby. There's no Genie Plus option or anything like that. So, yeah, if you want to get VIP, that's probably why people are like booking up those VIP packages, because they're like, well, if we're going to be doing dining anyway, might as well, you know, get it. So,
yeah, for sure. We'll see. More to come.
I know. Awesome. So, those are your updates. So, a couple of small things. First, you know, Mickey Mouse is having his birthday coming up. Let's see. What's today? The 17th, this recording comes out. So the 18th is his birthday. He's turning, 1928. So that makes him 94. 94? Am I doing my math right?
Yeah.
94. Yeah. So, man, he's old.
He's an old guy, still
looking
man.
Good. Still looking good, though.
He doesn't look a day over five.
I know. I hope I look that good when I'm 98 years old.
Seriously.
Yeah. Some other fun stuff. The Magic Kingdom train. You know, it's been seen around. It's been testing a bit more. People saw it today going through the tunnel that goes underneath Tron. It was parked for the first time in like 4 years at the Main Street station, which is like super exciting. So it's got to be ramping up like to be open pretty soon, because it went to all of the stops. Like,
nice.
For testing. So.
It's the question is going to be, what happens first, the train or Tron?
Hopefully the train. I feel like the train, you know, it's almost there. It's got to be, it's got to be just getting ready. So. the train hopefully will be coming back in the next couple months. When do we have Tron again? When did they say? May? I don't remember at this point.
I don't remember. Spring.
I can't remember either.
Quote unquote early next year.
Yeah.
We'll just say early next year, whatever that means. I think we had a more specific date, but.
Yeah. So some good news before we get to all of like the not so great news about price increases and tickets and stuff like that. The good news is with dining reservations, they changed their cancellation policies. So if you want to cancel on the same day of your reservation, you can do so without getting charged, as long as it's 2 hours, at least 2 hours before your reservation. But if it's less than 2 hours before your reservation, you have to call the restaurant to cancel and possibly charge the fee. Now, for instance, I was on my on our trip, we canceled a bunch of times the day of. We did have to call, but they never charged us a fee. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah, sure, no problem. So like, I don't know if they're actually even implementing their, their dining fees. I feel like it's a lot easier if you want to the better experience would be just to cancel on your app and that's it. But, now instead of 24 hours, you just do it. You can do it within 2 hours, which is very exciting, that they are made that a bit more lenient.
So I want to know what the reasoning behind this is, right? Because we all know that, so dining reservations are harder than ever to find. So you would think that this would actually be even worse, because people are now only needing to give 2 hours notice. So like, this has got to make it harder to pick up things day of.
So
what's the reasoning?
So from what I would understand, just from my experience with my job, one of my jobs as a user experience designer, we really want to drop down the call-in rate because the more people call into, say Disney, the more expensive it is for Disney. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is reduce that call-in rate, because people are trying to cancel those reservations at least 24 hours in advance. And that means they have to call Disney to do it. And, that could lead to maybe possibly long wait times, you know, unsatisfactory, you know, guests or guests that are just not satisfied, you know, guests being angry that they have to wait on a call. When we had the caller cancel, we never had to wait. I'm just, you know, proposing that might be a thing. But at least for Disney, now that's going to relieve some stress on their call centers, where there will be fewer people that have to now call in to cancel the reservation. They can do it directly on the app at least, you know, 2 hours before. So it's going to save them a lot of money, which, you know, I don't know if you've been following Disney this past week. It's been not great with their numbers. Well, their numbers are high, but they're going to be laying off a lot of people. So they're they're trying to save money. So that's, you know, that's my perspective on it, is that's, you know, Disney's just trying to save some money. But yeah, people have a lot of issues with, you know, making reservations and booking and stuff like that. So yeah, it could possibly be harder because yeah, people are going to hold their reservations. And I'm sorry, Katie, people are not going to like you for holding two steakhouse.
Oh, I'm well aware. I have every intention of canceling one very soon.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And
someone called me out on Instagram about it. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I understand. Am I the villain? Yes, I'm the villain. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. Yes, I understand. Had there not been literally a reservation available both days for every half an hour, I would not have done this, but there were so many.
Yeah, it's not the most in demand restaurant.
No,
so it's really good. Everyone says it's phenomenal, but not the most in demand.
Yeah. Super excited for that. But yeah, no, I'll be dropping one of those sooner than later. I just haven't figured that part out yet.
Yeah.
Also, as we've been talking, I just checked on the actual website, Disney's website. Still can't book out 60 days out. So,
Does it have something to do with you? Not being a resort guest?
That must be it. I need to look into the actual, like, fine print, I guess. Like, resort guests you have to be 60 days. But I have a park pass. It should be the same. Yeah, like, I think, park pass.
I think dining might go off of your resort reservation then. That's got to be what it is.
That's probably it.
It has to be. Shenanigans. It doesn't go off your park tickets. Yeah, everything usually goes off your resort reservation. Like once you have that, everything gets connected to that, like your park tickets. So
Every time I log into my Disney experience, it does say, you don't have a resort yet. Do you need to fix that?
Yeah, I think we solved the issue. People were probably screaming into their headsets. Or, you know, or at the car, be like, it's because Katie doesn't have a resort reservation.
Sorry, guys. We're just idiots, okay?
Listen, we try on this podcast. We really do try.
You get 100% professionalism and everything is correct at all times.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah. So, some good news for – I at least think this is good news. I mean, the internet's been thinking this is – good. So who knows what kind of problems it'll cause. All right, so on to the fun, kind of not so fun stuff, talking about tickets. You know what, I'll do the annual pass news first, because we can get those pretty easily out of the way. So Walt Disney World, they are raising the prices of their annual passes for, you know, renewals. New sales are still paused. You cannot buy any new Walt Disney World annual passes. But if you would like to renew, you can do so. The IncrediPass has gone up another $100, which is the most expensive pass. The Sorcerer Pass is going up about $70. The Pirate Pass is going up $50. And then the Pixie Dust Pass is staying the same price. So it's really... it's just going up, you know, a little bit, which, you know, that if the demand is there, then, you know, you keep paying. Katie is talking with her wallet by not doing an annual pass.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know, too much. So if you don't like the prices, just don't pay them. You know, Disney will listen, but, you know.
Okay.
What were you going to say? You had a thought.
That's so. Okay. I have two thoughts. One, why are they still increasing the price when not actually selling them? Like, now you're just kind of shoving it in our face that we can't buy them every time you talk about increasing the stupid prices for them. But that's neither here nor there. I just have to comment, when I bought my first annual pass, which was only 3 years ago, like it would have been, okay, so it might have been 4 years ago, but 3.5-ish, we'll call it 3.5 years ago, mm-hmm. it was less than $900 for the equivalent to Incredipass.
Wow.
It has gone up $500 in three to four years.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. I mean, that's just with everything. You know, we always talk about this every time prices increase. I know. It's just all about demand. You know, if people are paying these prices, Disney's going to keep raising them.
Yeah. But, but that brings back
You know how many posts I saw, at least, I would say at least three posts today on Instagram that said, you know, I'm not happy with what Disney's doing. Everything's getting more expensive, but I'm still going to pay for my annual pass because there's still the magic. It's like,
is it though?
That's the thing. It's like, you know, if you, I want to say this politely because it's like, if you're going to complain about prices being raised of like merchandise or whatever it is, talk with your wallet. Don't pay it.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it. Me, you know, luckily I'm not one of these people that, you know, need an annual pass. I go once a year, if I'm lucky enough. But I've said in the past, I'm one of those people that will pay stupid amounts of money because I'm going once. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I get, you know, the best, you know, I want to maximize my time as best as possible. So I am going to pay those prices. But if you're someone that's going all the time, you know, okay, pay for your annual pass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe stop buying merchandise. You know, if you're going all the time, don't buy any merchandise. You know, you might already be one of those people. You know, I'm sure you're thrifty enough to know, you know, what not to spend for food and drinks at Disney. You know, save money in other ways. But I guess I just got a little heated when I see people complaining online, but then still saying, you know what, I'm going to buy it anyway. What are you complaining for then?
I think the price increases are only blocking out people like in my situation, right? Like non-local, non-DVC people who still like to go all the time. Like, I am very much so obsessed with Disney. I just can't afford to buy into DVC right now.
Yeah.
But I used my annual pass to get that Disney fill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just pricing out people like me in my situation where, like, I'm not close enough to make a weekend trip of
and
it. And it's hard. Now it is not worth it for me. Now, locals, people who are in DVC, 100% still worth it because you have that built-in access, we'll call it, easier access. But yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer. I'm not shocked, of course. But isn't this also like the third time this year? Like, we'll call it year to date, this has happened. Like, I feel like we keep talking about annual pass prices increasing. And they haven't even been sold.
I'd have to look at my
notes. I know it's been at least twice in the past year. And that
I'm trying to see if I see anything with my nose. I'm trying to look at like the titles real quick of, I don't see anything that stands out, but you know, you were just talking about like DVC members, you know, I'm not DVC, but we always stay on DVC because I have a father-in-law that, you know, lets us use his points. So I do get lucky where I don't have to worry about resort, you know, fees, like that's all taken care of. Now, you know, that does make me spend more money when I go because I have that, you know, that option. But yeah, but I get it. It is pricing out people that, you know, can't afford it as much or want to go. But that's just, it's not going to be changing.
It's not going to change. Yeah.
It's not. If people keep, I don't know. I don't want to be a broken record, which I already am. If people keep paying the prices, it's just going to keep going up.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much more to this world to see than Disney World. So, and probably cheaper.
I know.
That's the one thing that's good about, like, you know, my wife and I, we're good about like seeing other things besides Disney. So.
Right. Well, that's the crazy thing. We're literally trying to plan like a mini vacation, mini honeymoon, like not our actual honeymoon, but like a few days after the wedding, actually take, you know, a few days extra off to go to Disney, because naturally I need to go to Disney on my honeymoon. But like, I don't want Disney to be my only honeymoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's literally like even trying to price it down to like 2 to 3 days is so expensive. I'm like, this is turning into not a cheap mini moon. So I don't know. It's just a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, if you love Disney, you know, it's just how it is. I love Disney still, you know, it's always going to be, has a place in my heart, but I'm glad I'm just not there all the time. So when I do go, it is magical. Like it's a lot of fun, you know? And now like with kids, you know, with second on the way, you know, it's going to be even cooler just seeing it, you know, in their eyes. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We keep finding the magic that we need when we go. I think that's where it is.
If the money, if it's worth it to you, spend the money, go for it, you know? So, but all right. So those are the prices increasing at for annual passes. So some good news for over at Disneyland. I thought I should mention this since we're already talking about Walt Disney World annual passes. The Magic Key Pass, which is something that Disneyland came out with last year, it's like their new annual passes. The sales are resuming today as of recording. So I think they stopped selling them in like May, but now the those are back up. So like, you know, if people want to get annual passes, they're going to be available for all. So that's like, you know, that's really, really exciting. So
that is cool.
Yeah, so Magic, the Magic Key Passes, our sales are happening today. You know, there's a queue for it as of recording. I don't know if they stopped it. I doubt it. I don't think that's happening, but we'll see how long they last. All right, so the other thing, Disney's have, they're doing something different with their one-day ticket prices. So what they're doing is they're doing park-specific pricing, which will join the date-based pricing for single-day Disney World tickets. So if that sounds confusing, it might be. as of right now, how it works is like all parks are priced equally. Yes.
I thought Magic Kingdom was always different.
No. Okay. If you were to buy a ticket, all the parks were priced the same, no matter what, you know, what day it was.
Okay.
So if it's, if you're doing a one day now, the pricing is going to be changing for each park. So it's still going to vary depending on the date, but they're not going to be the same. For example, Disney's Animal Kingdom will be the cheapest. It will be anywhere between $109 to $159. Hollywood Studios will be anywhere between $124 to $179. Epcot will be anywhere between $114 to $179, and Magic Kingdom will be anywhere between $124 to $189. And these new pricing models will come into effect to December 8th, 2022. So those are for one-day tickets. Now, you know, a lot of people vacation, you know, multi-day, so that's still going to be the same. You know, that's still going to be the date-based ticket pricing. It's just the one day that's going to be changing. So, you know, Magic Kingdom is the most in-demand park, so that's always going to be the most expensive. You know, not much more expensive than Hollywood Studios, but this is, you know, something new that Disney is trying out. You know, they're probably seeing like, well, why, you know, why can't we make more money on Magic Kingdom compared to Animal Kingdom? So, yeah. But I'm sure like what might happen is like, you know, if someone has like one day, like this would be for like someone who lives in Florida where it's like, you know what, why don't we go to Disney this week? We don't have an annual pass. Which park has the cheapest prices? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll do it. You know, they'll be like, okay, Animal Kingdom is really cheap this day. Why don't we go? So. I don't know. What do you think of this new park specific pricing?
I don't know. I guess I don't really have too many thoughts. It is what it is. I think it makes it more confusing. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't. I think. See, I don't know. It confuses me, right? So typically park tickets are, if you, you know, one day might be $110, but then if you go 5 days, it brings it down to like $90 a day for tickets. So like, is that still going to happen? Yes. I don't know. That still happens. It just kind of still depends on which part. So like, so you have a 5 day ticket. Is it basing it off of Magic Kingdom park ticket days? Or are you going to have to declare when you buy your ticket which park you're going to? Is that now built into the park pass reservation system?
So nothing is changing with multi-day ticketing. So the one thing I did mean to add with this is that if you buy a park pass for that, or sorry, if you buy a ticket for that park, say you buy a ticket for 1 day for Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. you do not have to make a park pass reservation. It automatically makes a park pass reservation for you buying the ticket.
Okay.
Nothing is changing about multi-day ticket, at least that's of like what I've heard. Nothing's changing about that. So everything stays the same. I don't know how they work their pricing structures, but it's all going to be the same. So everything we know and love to death will be there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is at this point. Nothing yep. shocks me anymore.
I know. So, all right. So that's all like the sad news.
Yeah. Let's talk some fun stuff. Now I'm depressed. Thank you.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's been honestly. So we didn't record last week. You know, some stuff came up. I honestly, last week was a blur. I don't even remember why we didn't record last week. I know I texted you. I was like, I'm busy or something. And you're mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm swamped too. You just started a new job.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Well, I was going to say something. I don't remember. Oh yeah. It was, you know, Disney news has been very light. There hasn't really been anything like too exciting. So this is the best we got. So.
Yep. Bear with us, fam. Yeah. Bear with us.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the dessert party over at the fireworks dessert party at Magic Kingdom. And friend of the show, Leanne, who I got to meet on my trip in November, so much fun hanging out at Magic Kingdom one night with her. She actually sent in kind of like a report of her dessert party that she had, and all pretty positive on it. So I honestly, like, you and I didn't really know much about the dessert party. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was, you know, kind of enlightening to, you know, to hear. So she sent a long email. I'll try to paraphrase it a bit. So if you're interested in the dessert party, here are some thoughts on it from our friend Leanne, who's also a Park Snacker, who just hit 300 items rated on Woo-hoo! Park Snacker, which is
Go
crazy.
Leanne! Yeah.
All right. So here are some of her thoughts. So for adults, it's $99. For kids, it's $59. She was saying that the pre-party starts about 90 minutes before the fireworks, and that got there right at 90 minutes. And there were already a lot of people checked in and seated, but, you know, they didn't really have to wait online any more than a minute. So she was able to get right in. They take you to a table. They put a reserve. There's a reserve sign on it. You know, you can go to the buffet line. There is one line for desserts, fruit, breads, and cheese. There's a cookie decorating station on the side if you want to check that out. There's a crepe table in the middle. There's a bar with beer and wine at one end. There's non-alcoholic drinks at another table. It's all included. You can only get 2 alcoholic drinks per person per trip. So, you know, just take 2, then go back and get some more. The non-alcoholic included Pog juice, water, milk, and sparkling cider. Leanne said she tried literally a bite of like everything. She tried about 3 or 4 different drinks. She, you know, most of them were small sizes, but the crepe, the snickerdoodle cookie sandwich, and ricotta donuts were bigger and more filling. She pretty much said that, you know, go, you know, eat like a late lunch or whatever and just kind of fill up, you know, skip dinner and wolf down as much dessert as you can. So, yeah, so you have 90 minutes before that to, you know, eat as much as you want. When you're done eating, you can check in at the same stand. You can walk through the crowd with a CM kind of holding a light and wand, and they, you know, they kind of bring you to the hub grass where it's standing room only. You know, there's a lot. She said she had a lot of space. They sat on the grass for like 10 minutes before the show started. You know, man, when I was in there, it was crammed in the hub. You know, yeah. If you don't want to be surrounded by people, this is definitely something you'd want to do. You know, as soon as the show ended, everyone just kind of scampers, and everyone just tries to go everywhere. But, you know, they just hung out in there for a few, just, you know, kind of hanging around, and they made their way to PhilharMagic. Overall thoughts, she said it was definitely worth it. If it's for a special occasion, do it, check it out. You know, there's lots of extra space, at the, you know, the hub. Let's see. There were also, she does say there were, she wishes there were some more savory options. But they were basically just desserts that, you know, she's had, plenty of other places throughout Disney, but they were all still great. There's a tiny bathroom in the Tomorrowland Terrace, behind you if you want to do that. She said, the only thing I'm not sure if it's great is for kids, based on my observations. Most of the kids near us just ate fruit or cheese or a cookie or two. So that's $60 for a 12-ounce of cheddar and 3 sugar cookies. So I guess the question is if you're willing to spend $99 for you and $59 for a kid. Yeah, if your kid's like a picky eater, yeah, maybe, you know, not the, mm-hmm. you know, not the best experience. But if you want like a VIP seating for the fireworks, then, you know, maybe it is. So, but yeah, so that was her experience. Overall, very positive. And, you know, it was kind of good to know like how the party works, because I've honestly never really, you know, thought about it. So, because I don't plan on doing it anytime soon.
I think same too, mostly just because, I mean, we're not sweets people. Like, we're definitely more savory people. So if there were more savory options, I would be all over this. I really don't think that it's a kid's experience. Cause like she says, like, the kids aren't going to eat nearly enough to make it $60 worth, mm-hmm. even a little bit. But yeah, special occasion or something, trying something new.
If you go to Disney all the time and you're looking to do something different, yeah, do that. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Leanne, thanks for sending in that report. I really appreciate that. If you liked doing reports, you know, like this, if someone else has like a story that happened to them on their vacation, you know, send it in, talk about it. All right. So we have a couple listener questions today. Then we're going to end the show there. So first question up is, we got from Instagram, Woody Hornsby sent in. Top 3 places for breakfast. And they also talked about how it's an adult-only trip. So, Katie, cool. Do you want to start with this, or do you want me to go?
I will start with my number one, at least. And this is ironic because I literally have never actually eaten here yet. But I feel like it has to be Steakhouse 71. You have bottomless mimosas. And what says adult-only trip more than bottomless mimosas? And I've only ever heard good things about it. Clearly, I have 2 Steakhouse 71 reservations right now.
The other thing is outside of the parks. I forgot to add to that question. So make sure it's you did mention already outside of the parks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was like, oh, no. Yeah. No, I'm good. So, okay. Outside of the parks. Yeah. So Steakhouse 71, again, haven't eaten there yet. Highly. You know, anticipating that. Topolino's is probably another one. You can speak to this more than I can. I'm sure this is on your list. That's another one that's highly rated. Ohana is highly rated. I've also never been. I'm not a breakfast person, so I think I probably am not the best one for this. But these are the ones that I've heard about the most. The one that I have had breakfast / brunch at that I think is often overlooked is Trails End over at mm-hmm. the campsites at Fort Wilderness. Trails End breakfast was so good. I've had it twice when I was doing my internship. And it's cheap, which is the best part of it. Yeah. It's really good food and it's cheap. So if you're looking for something seriously outside the parks, because I think we've talked about this before, it takes a long time to get anywhere within Fort Wilderness.
Yeah.
But Trails End was highly recoed for breakfast from when I was there in my internship. Yeah,
breakfast is $35 for an adult. So, buffet menu too. Yeah.
Buffet, yes. Those are buffets.
If you're staying on like the monorail line or like Bay Lake, you can take a boat over to Fort Wilderness pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You know, we did that one morning, which I've talked about. We didn't eat at Trails End. We just went over to Fort Wilderness. So, yeah, I don't want to say Topolino's just because, like, you know, that's just like kind of like a given. Everyone knows about it.
That's a given. Yeah.
You know, if you can get it, what I think is just so cool that Topolino does is that you can, you know, with your meal, because it's all one price, with your meal, you can order a meal, but then you can order a side meal of any of the other main entrees. So, like, I just think that's really cool that you get, like, a smaller version of, like, the main entrees. So if you want to try two entrees, you can do that. Like, I don't know any other restaurant that does it. I just think that's, like, a really cool concept. Yeah.
For sure.
So for top three breakfast, it's tough because usually we don't do too many breakfasts only because, like, we, you know, we always, like, make breakfast before we go to the park. But I, you know, what I would suggest is if it's, like, a morning where – you know, it's like a rest day, it sounds like, because you did say you did not want to do anything in the parks. So if it's like a rest day or something, I would hit up like a resort. If you're staying at like a resort, try to hit up the restaurant that's at your resort. You know, you're paying to be at that resort. So make use of what you have. You know, when we were at the Grand Floridian recently, we went to both Citrico's and the Grand Floridian Cafe, which were, you know, those were the only two that were open. So we wanted to make sure we made use of those resorts. So if I were to suggest one, you know, get some breakfast at the resort you're staying at. Otherwise, go and, you know, get a breakfast at like one of the deluxe resorts. That way you can kind of tour the property, tour the resort. You know, when I stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, I really loved Boma. Like Boma was like such a great breakfast, and I've heard it's actually gotten better over the past few years. Ooh. So Boma's a breakfast buffet. I loved it. You know, then that means you can, you know, walk around the lodge. You can then go out and, you know, there's some different areas where you can visit. Like if you go over by like Sanaa. Oh wait, is that in Jumbo House or is that the DVC lounge? Oh yeah, yes. That's in the other lounge. Sanaa's over in Kidani Village. That's right. Sanaa's in Kidani Village. Boma is over in Jumbo House. Yes.
Yes.
So you'd have to walk over to Kidani Village. But anyways, what I'm saying is there's different areas that you can look over in the safari, see the animals. So I would suggest Boma. We just had some breakfast elsewhere. You know, Whispering Canyon Cafe, it's definitely, I don't want to say it's more for kids just because, like, you can act like a kid when you're there. You know, your kids are hooting and hollering, but, like, the breakfast is just so good there. Like, I just had you can get, like, a big skillet. Breakfast is just amazing. I love Whispering Canyon Cafe. And then, man, where else did I eat recently? I can't remember. I
thought of one other one. Trattoria Al Forno. Yes. Their Bon Voyage breakfast. They have yet to bring back character dining at it, which I think was a really big saving grace for it. But their breakfast, the food, even just the food alone was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. People do all that. People love the Cape May Cafe for breakfast over at Beach Club. Katie just kind of waved her fingers like, forget that one. There's also Kona. Dinner, there's also Kona Cafe buffet. Too at the Polynesian. True. So there's that one.
So basically our answer is pick a deluxe resort that you want to explore.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. That's how I started my answer. It's like, yeah, if you there's a deluxe resort that you want to check out, I would do that. So, sorry, probably my answer is not the best, but
I feel like we just name dropped a whole bunch of them. Definitely not top three, but there you go. There's some good options out there for two non-breakfast.
Yeah. We usually just make breakfast in the resort and then like go to the park. So, I wish I'd hit up Grand Floridian Cafe for breakfast. It just didn't really work out in our schedule. So
I had Grand Floridian Cafe for breakfast on Christmas morning. I think it was Christmas
morning. Yeah?
Maybe it was New Year's morning of my college program. But I don't remember the food, which I can't tell you if that's because I had too much to drink or if it's because it wasn't memorable. It's a toss-up. Jeez.
All right. So, Katie, you have a couple questions. Why don't we go to you next?
Yes. All right. So the first question I got was from my darling friend Emma in Neverland on Instagram. She wants to know the best place to get a Mickey gingerbread cookie at Walt Disney World. We had to do some research on this. Matt, you have the answer.
Yeah. Hit me with so it. Disney put out their foodie guides for the parks, the resorts, Disney Springs. So they listed all of their recent food options for the holidays coming up. And luckily enough, you know, we have some information at Park Snacker, but we have not updated with these new treats yet, so it might be a little out of date. Anyways, so he said gingerbread cookies specifically at Old Key West over at Good Foods to Go. They have a Mickey and Minnie gingerbread cookie, which the top is, you know, they're shaped like Mickey and Minnie. Minnie has a red bow tie, red bow on it, and they're dipped in chocolate or dark chocolate. So they have those over at, again, Old Key West. Over at the Riviera Resort, they have the Riviera gingerbread cookie, which is gingerbread cookie with dark chocolate and sugar glaze. This thing actually looks really good. So Riviera over at Le Petit Cafe. So we have those. You can get those same gingerbread cookies that I mentioned over at Old Key West. You can get them also at Saratoga Springs over at Artist Palette. They have them over there. Over at the Caribbean Beach Resort, they have something what they're calling ginger crabs, classic gingerbread cookies. Yeah. I don't have a photo of what they look like, but I assume that they're going to be in like the shape of like Sebastian. So Sebastian's a crab, right? We always thought, right, he's a crab.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, not the best name, ginger crabs.
That's so weird.
Anyway, okay. So
you let your team run away with that
so
one.
So that's what we have for the resorts. For the parks, let's see if we have anything here. Gingerbread cookies. Cookie. Okay, so this is for the parks in Disney Springs. Over at Amorette's Patisserie. They don't have a gingerbread cookie, but they have a holiday wreath pastry, which is gingerbread cookie cake topped with salted caramel spiced mousse and candied hazelnuts. This thing looks bomb. Like, it looks like if you're not familiar with Amorette's Patisserie, like, they make like the most gorgeous treats everywhere. Mm-hmm. But man, this thing looks good. And then in Hollywood Studios at the Trolley Car Cafe, where I have my, you know, my favorite carrot cake cookie, they have a Mickey Mouse gingerbread cookie over there. There's
classic.
The photo of this, it shows, yeah, your classic gingerbread cookie with they used icing to create like the face of Mickey on it. So. I don't know if any of those are good or not, but those are the places at Disney that you can get gingerbread cookies this season. Nice. So yeah, if you want, just like Google Disney Eats, and then that'll bring you to the section of the Disney Parks blog where they have like the foodie guides for everything. So. And I think those are the two guides for Walt Disney World. So yeah, we have those. So yeah, so great question. Cool. So hopefully that helps.
Thanks, Emma. Yes. Okay. I have one last question and I didn't even prepare you for this, because I needed to get your actual reaction. So this question comes from very close friend of the show, CJ at the Weekly Mouse. And she says, what do we have to bribe Matt with to get him to do a Run Disney event with us. Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm so into this.
The very unfortunate thing is I have a back issue, like a pretty serious one. It's called, I can never remember how to pronounce it, but it's like spondylolisthesis. It's a really weird sounding name, but it's where, I'm getting like technical here, but it's where my sacrum and my L5 discs are slipped. So because of that, it causes nerve damage and I can't run anymore because of it. I can walk,
But can you walk 3.1 miles? I can walk 3.1
miles at a quick pace.
Yes. Okay, so what do we need to bribe you with to walk 3.1 miles with us at a Run Disney event? Because honestly, I can't run 6 miles anymore either with my foot issues since I broke it. So I'd be totally down to briskly walk a 5K as a park snacker.
I would do it. I have no hesitation to do it. You know, I probably have been put off by it in the past. You don't really have to twist my leg. I will say here, I promise I will do a 5K. If anything, I would probably want it to be like one of those springtime surprise ones where they're fun. I have no desire to go down like in January for marathon weekend, because that's just like, I think, too crazy for me. Maybe wine and dine. Do they do a 5K for wine and dine weekend? Okay.
Yeah. They have a 5K.
I would want to make sure I find the most fun 5K, like something that would be really fun. Okay. So,
noted. Well, I think we missed our bet for 2023, but 2024 springtime surprise 5K park snacker squad.
I'll see. You know, as the kids are still going to be young and getting older, so I have to make sure that, you know, I can either go down by myself or, you know, take a small family trip and I just do it the one morning. So one of these days I'll do it. So, yeah.
Okay, because I am dying to do a Run Disney event again as well, but I can't run a 10K, and 10K is my go-to race, and it breaks my heart that I can't do it anymore. Probably at least not for a very long time. So 5K park snacker squad.
Yeah. We'll do it.
Disney day.
We'll do it. I love this. I'm down. Honestly, realistically, probably like 2025, if anything. It'll be here quicker than you know it. So, all right, fine. I'll try 2024. Right.
It is recorded in history. We're gonna make it happen at some point in the next 50 years.
And knowing
years.
CJ, she's gonna hold me to it. So,
hey, I'm holding you to it too. Now you have me and CJ on you about this. I didn't know that was even an option. So I am fully invested.
So, I'm down. So I appreciate the question. Cool. Well, that's it. That's going to wrap it up for this week. With the holiday next week, I got family coming in. It's going to be crazy. We got people, like, I don't think I'll be able to record next week. So, you know, at this point, we're becoming like an every other week podcast.
Hey, keeping people on their toes. That's all.
Yeah.
Coming at you with the really very big Disney news.
I know.
This week.
I know.
So.
Yeah. I still want to do my other idea for my podcast. I don't know if I talked about it on here, but I want to do like the untold stories of Disney, where you take like either embarrassing moments that you might not want to like actually share, but you would want to come on here like anonymously to share. So I got this idea. So like, Have you listened to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard?
I literally listen to it every single day. It is my most
favorite
thing.
His Armchair Anonymous series. It's literally the best. So I'm like, oh my God, what if we just do that, but with like Disney stories? Like, I know people have, you know, because everyone talks about the, you know, I would make this separate from Park Snacker, but like, I know everyone talks about like, oh, all the fun stuff that happens. It's not all rainbows. I have a really embarrassing story from my trip in November, which I've told Katie. I'm not going to share on the air, but if I had a different podcast, I would absolutely share what happened. So, but it's like, that got me thinking, I'm like, oh man, that would be fun. But it's a lot of work because I'd have to schedule people. I'd have to like vet stories. I'd probably have to get my wife to vet the story so I wouldn't know the stories going into it. So I'd be like, honey, can you just like make sure these are good stories before I like have them come on the, anyways.
We need like a full-on assistant. So now we're hiring someone.
So if someone wants to vet crazy Disney stories, let me know. Eventually, I want to do it. It's just with the holidays, it's like, and things coming up, it's just like way too busy. So you know, I'll try for that like next year. So.
In the meantime, if you have one of those stories, let us know so that we can get even more of a reason to do this.
You don't have to tell me the story yet, but like, if you have like a,
say,
if you think you have a story that, you know, something like, you know, I'm talking about like more PG-13, like R-rated type stories, like from like Disney, like, you know, a drunken night of debauchery at Disney, or you saw like something scary happen. If you saw, you know, people acting silly or like, weird, or
a super embarrassing story that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is more of like the embarrassing one where it's like, I'm not going to share it, but yeah, it's just, oh man. So yeah, if you have anything like that, you know, reach out to me and maybe that'll, you know, I actually got 10, I posted on my Instagram, 10 people said they have a story that they would like to share. Ooh. So I took a screenshot. So at some point I'm going to, you know, reach out to those people and, you know, create like a Google form where you could fill it in. But I'm putting it out there into the universe because that might make me actually do it. So
we are manifesting so many things tonight.
We are.
Run Disney, new podcast.
Yeah. It's going to be like Disney Parks Untold. I don't know. I have to think of a name, but anyways.
Yeah. We'll brainstorm.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. So Katie, where can we find you?
Aw, oh, man, you guys come hang out with me on Instagram. I'm over at Magically Mootsy, and then I'm on Parksnacker at Magically Mootsy. And it is about the time I need to start making some lists for my January trip. So stay tuned for some more Parksnacker updates.
Heck yeah, sounds good. You can find us at Parksnacker.com. We have all the social media links on there. We are, you know, mostly using Instagram these days. At Parksnacker, you can follow me on Parksnacker app, at Parksnacker Matt. I am saying Parksnacker a lot. let's see. If you have not checked out our merch shop yet, store.parksnacker.com. You know, if you want to support us, that's the one way to support us right now is, you know, through the, you know, some t-shirt sales. So if you have anything that you want to get, pick it up over there. I really need to start doing some more designs. It's been like way too long. Life is crazy. So,
yeah, it is.
All right. That's it. So until next time, we'll see you then.